Our next case for argument is 21-2301, Bertini v. Apple. Mr. Bertini, please proceed.
May it please the court. My name is James Bertini, and I represent Charles Bertini, the appellant. Today, we ask this court to reverse the decision of the board and to deny registration of the mark Apple Music. In the decision, the board acknowledged that Apple Jazz mark is inherently distinctive, and Charles Bertini may claim priority as to its use of Apple Jazz since June of 1985. The board also found that Apple Music was used since June of 2015.
What can I ask you, with regard to Apple Jazz going back to June of 85, what are the goods and services that particular mark is permitted for?
Yes, Judge. It's a lengthy list. It began with a concert, a jazz concert, and then it expanded to various other activities related to Class 41 entertainment services for producing, arranging, directing musical performances.
But these were all live musical performances, correct?
No, they were not all live. Some would be in a recording studio.
Okay, just so I understand, let me follow up. Did the board find that but for Apple's ability to claim priority back to Beatles Apple, you should be granted a trademark registration for Apple Jazz for all of the goods and services you identified in your trademark application for Apple Jazz?
Judge, they didn't specifically say that any of those activities cannot be used. They implied, at least in my opinion, that the entire list of that Bertini had sought registration of would be included, but they didn't get into
including the musical recordings.
I don't have the list in front of me, but yes, that's creating and arranging and directing musical.
Is your application, which I know is not in front of us, in the appendix?
Yes, it is, Judge.
What page, please?
And just to be clear, while you're looking for this, I mean, this case has nothing to do with your application, per se, or whether it should be granted. This case is about your opposition to Apple's application. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. That was listed as one reason for the denial of...
So when you're saying, you know, you want us to reverse, and say that your opposition to Apple's music is legitimate, that doesn't necessarily mean they need to issue your trademark. That would be a separate analysis.
Correct.
Okay, now I'm sorry. Let me let you find that site for Judge Trump.
Okay.
Is this at 82? Several of those.
Yes, it appears to be, Judge.
Okay. In any event, back to this one, that the board said that as to something, you had priority in 85, and then said the only reason that California Apple, computer Apple, whatever one may want to call it, is going to prevail here is that it gets to borrow the priority date of London Apple's, now belongs to California Apple's, activities, which was limited in some way. Right?
Yes, Judge, they did allow tag.
So, and you do argue here, I don't think there has been a forfeiture argument made in the red brief, but you do argue here, I think, that any priority that the Apple companies have based on the Beatles Apple activities doesn't extend to the full set of goods and services listed in the current Apple applications.
Well, it doesn't extend to any of them, Judge.
I'm trying to focus on this. Just for purposes of this question, let's assume that it does extend to the little phrase about sound recordings. I think you argue that that's not enough to warrant granting this registration, because this registration includes a whole set of activities that go beyond that little phrase about sound recordings.
Yes, Judge, sound recordings is a good. Correct me, Judge Chan, if I misspoke. I didn't intend to state that my client has created any goods, but services. And the in 1985, Apple computer didn't create any services for music.
Okay, stop with the services goods, because it seems, without all due respect, to be a somewhat arbitrary distinction that you're drawing. Focus instead, I think, on Judge Toronto's precise question. Apple Jazz, according to the board, had priority in 1985 for arranging, organizing, conducting, presenting live concerts and live music performances. Forget everything else. The board has said that at least that, by 1985, you had.
Okay.
So let's focus on live concerts and performances.
Okay.
Let's just stop there. Apple says it got priority, based on tacking, to go back to the Beatles' Apple's mark. And it says it got it for what? It's Gramophone Productions, right?
Yes.
Okay. And so Gramophone Productions are, like, could be, like, similar to a record, or maybe it could extend to a cassette tape, or maybe it could go to a CD as time evolves. One might imagine a reasonable extension like that. But the problem that I have with this case, which I think is very similar to what Judge Toronto was asking you, is what they're seeking to obtain in this registration is the use of Apple Music for everything, right down to live performances and sports, all sports apparently, not even sports memorabilia or sports labels or sports music, but sports, just all sports. So their list, which includes more than 100 different categories of things, goes way beyond, undisputedly beyond, what the Beatles Apples had a registration for. And I think that his question to you was trying to focus on that. In the tacking doctrine, is it fair to say I can tack back for gramophone recordings, which means I now have priority back to the 1960 for sports and live performances and everything else, when none of that was encapsulated by the 1960 Beatles registration? Is that your argument? That's kind of what I understand part of your argument to be.
Our argument is, even prior to that, our argument is that...
Okay, can you start with yes, and then tell me what else, in addition to what I just said?
Well, yes, okay. That is a very broad application, and it would allow Apple, through this tacking doctrine...
So where do we find the legal standards for that? Because that to me, as the chief just
sure
one of the well articulated what I'm getting at. There's on its face a large mismatch between the subject of the tacked earlier activity and the scope of activities listed in this registration application, and it seems facially odd to say that. Having priority as to one little piece gives priority as to everything else, including perhaps activities as to which the board said you had priority. Where do I find the right legal standards for addressing that concern about the mismatch of scope of activities with respect to the priority claim?
I think this court articulated it in a case called Van Dyne, where it stated that tacking is a very strict standard and can only be issued very sparingly.
Right, but one of the oddities, or at least, again, my questions I have is, many of the Tacken cases, maybe even all of them, and I'd like you to tell me if there are some that are different from this, talk about, for example, the way Hanna Financial did, a change in the content of the mark. If the change in the content of the mark is not too big, that is, it's small enough that the relevant consumers would understand that the new one probably comes from the same source as the old one, then you can do tacking. And in that context, it's narrow. We're talking, what I'm focused on, is a question about a change in the scope of activities covered by a mark that I will assume is close enough, the Apple and the Apple Music. Where do I find cases about that?
Well, we don't find, I haven't been able to find cases that allow an expansion beyond what a judge has just described. Hanafin was the same services. There wasn't an expansion.
Right.
Yeah. There wasn't, and Big Blue, a case, a precedential case at the trademark trial and appeal board stated that you have to compare set to set. And that is set
concerning the activities covered.
Services or goods.
Big Blue.
Big Blue. It's yes.
Is that it? Okay. Is that
well, what about the natural expansion concept? And, McCarthy on trademarks, and then there's a CCPA case called J. Wiss. I think that both talked about natural expansion. I guess what we're concerned about is, or at least what I'm concerned about, is that I'm troubled that the idea that you could tack back for one thing and now claim you're entitled to a whole universe of completely different things, which I think is what is going on here. But I do feel like there is some room for expansion, right? Maybe that's why I said maybe gramophone recordings become cassette tapes.
Sure.
You know what I mean? That's a natural zone of expansion.
Yes.
But I'm not sure gram recordings become sports or blogs or whatever. You see the point I'm making.
Yes, Judge.
So maybe there is some room in the tacking doctrine for something other than identity of goods. But I'm trying to get my hands around what that legal standard ought to be.
Sure. Well, we start with the Lanham Act, which doesn't allow reservation of rights. However, this court has decided, notably in the Van Dyne case, that a small change, as long as there's strict standard, is acceptable. And set to set doesn't mean that if you have 20 different services, they have to be exactly the same as 20 other services. I suppose there could be some variation, but if you've got one service, And you're trying to connect it to 20 other services, that might not really be.
Are you familiar with the Jay Wiss opinion that Chief Judge Moore just cited? It's a CCPA opinion.
I'm not.
Talks about natural expansion.
I'm not familiar with that case, Judge.
Do you want to save the remaining time for rebuttal?
Yes, Judge.
Okay. Mr. Charnes, am I saying that right?
Close enough, Your Honor.
Well, tell me how to say it.
Charnes.
What is it?
Charnes, two syllables.
Charnes, got it. Charnes. Mr. Charnes, please proceed.
Good morning, and may it please the court. My name is Adam Charnes, and I represent Apple in this appeal. Getting right to the issue that consumed all of my friend's time on the other side. The first point I want to make is a forfeiture point. I think if you saw counsel throughout the argument, essentially resist the questions that the court made. Their argument is that no tacking is appropriate here as to any services. Back to Apple Corps trademark.
Let's assume that I think that the argument that says it has to be set to set certainly has been raised here. I don't remember seeing in your red brief an argument that says that argument was forfeited below. Did I
no,
get that?
I'm sorry. Yes. They made the set to set argument. I think that is somewhat different than the issue here as to how far within the list of services in the trademark application it goes. I mean, the suggestion that the entire set must match the entire set cannot possibly be.
Okay, well, let's just assume there's no forfeiture. Why don't you focus on the legal issue that we have, which
sure.
is what is the scope that ought to be permitted for tacking? There are very few cases on this doctrine, but the ones that exist give it a very narrow scope. So why don't you explain to us how it is that if you can claim priority for gramophone recordings, that ought to also give you priority for sports?
Right. Well, what the cases say, and there are cases like Brunswick and Big Blue, which counsel mentioned, what they say is that the services must be the same or substantially similar.
And how are gramophone recordings the same as sports?
Well, I think the question is you have to approach it from the perspective of the consumer. Now, gramophone recordings are...
Okay, so if I'm approaching it, well, I do want to hear your answer. Go ahead, and then I'll...
Sure. I think what the board said, and I think this is right, and there's...
Do you think the consumers of Beatles gramophone recordings would know that current day sports that may bear an Apple mark is actually the same source as the Beatles recordings?
I think what you do is you first look at the services or goods that are most likely to tack. That's what the board said. So you look first for, in their primary argument.
I don't care what the board said because this is a question of first impression. It's a legal standard,
right.
And there's not a lot on tacking. So I want you to help me figure it out because, as you can probably tell, my questions aren't of the friendly variety.
I did notice that, Your Honor. but I think the forfeiture question then comes back to that because you start with, is there any tacking at all? And I think here, as Your Honor alluded to, I think there clearly is tacking with respect to, for example, AppleCore's gramophone records to the more modern set of services through which musical recordings are transmitted to consumers. There are no, you can't buy a record anymore, or not the prime, the overwhelming way that you get music anymore is through streaming, where there is no good in service. And then you look at it from the perspective, so that's the first question. Can there be tacking here at all? And I think the answer is yes, and that's what the board said. Now, they're not making the argument that they're doing sports for Apple using
Apple
Jazz. It's
irrelevant whether they're doing sports. If they can prove that your application as sought is not entitled to the priority date, the whole thing's dead. It's not a line item veto.
Well, that, I agree with that in part, but I think we are entitled to tacking for some of the things that are listed in the application.
Well, I think that's the question I have. What if we were to agree that for one of the listed items, I don't know how many there are, let's say there are 100 items listed in your application, for one of them, you could enjoy tacking, but the other 99 you cannot. What happens to your application? It gets denied, right?
No, I don't think that's right. I think, first of all, I think that they are all, the question is whether it's sufficiently related that a consumer...
Now you're fighting the premise, and I guess there's a legal question that, as I understand it, we're all asking. Take the premise. You're entitled to tacking as to item number one.
Yes.
You're not entitled to tacking as to 2 through 100. What does the PTO do with an application like that? Reject it, or does it say, we'll give it to you, but only if you erase numbers 2 through 100?
Well, given those two options, I think the latter, certainly.
Is that PTO practice, or are you just speculating?
Well, I think it's not PTO practice, as this example showed with the board here.
Well, let me keep driving away at it, because I keep hearing different things coming out of you when I ask you a question. Is it PTO practice to permit trademark applicants to amend their application to cross out whole bunches of goods and services that they have listed while still preserving others? Or do you have to file a new application?
Honestly, I'm not sure the answer to that question.
Okay, then that's the answer to the question.
But I think
I asked and Judge Toronto reiterated.
I think the question here, though, is, and this is the approach that the board took, is the first question is whether there's tacking that's permissible with respect to the services that are overlapping between the parties. And that's the first issue the court looked at. And the board said that there was, and that's the argument that Bertini has made here.
Let's assume for the moment I read the board's decision as saying, all I have to do is find one common thing between the old Beatles trademark registration and the current Apple application, and I do find that one thing, and that's enough. I don't have to look any deeper, any further, as to whether there's any commonality or substantial similarity or natural expansion of using the Beatles registration as a source to all the things that have been recited in the current Apple application. What I want to know is, why is that legally correct under the doctrine of tacking?
Well, I think it is correct because there certainly is no authority that says it's not correct. But the board's approach is, as you indicated...
Well, if you count Big Blue, the trademark decision, as authority, that
one seems to ask for whether there's substantial identity.
Right. Well, I think that I concede, Your Honor, that that is the standard. I think we disagree, as we explained in our brief.
Did the board do that substantial identity test when looking at all 100 items you've listed as goods/services in your application?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. No, because that wasn't Bertini's argument. Bertini didn't pick out sports and say they
well,
can't.
Well, Bertini made below and to us in its blue brief here a set-to-set argument, and that, I think we can all agree, did not happen at the board level.
I think that's right. The board rejected that interpretation of Big Blue.
Right, and so, again, why is that correct to reject that? Just thinking about what are the principles underlying the tacking doctrine? Why should it be okay to recite 100 different things and essentially drive an elephant into a mouse hole to tack back to an earlier registration that is only directed at one goods or service?
Right. Well, I think the bottom line question is whether the services and goods are substantially identical or are the same. So we agree that that is the standard here.
So then you do a comparison of all the items listed in your current application against whatever the items that were identified in the earlier mark registration, right?
Well, I think it depends on what the opposer argues here. Now, the opposer here...
Let's assume that was argued here.
Right.
Okay, so then it's been argued. It's got to be done, right?
I think if they had come into the board and said sports is not substantially similar, then that would, you know, we would have brought in evidence at trial that showed how, in the minds of consumers...
Well, who has the burden of proof to establish tacking or disprove that tacking is entitled?
Well,
the burden's on your side, right?
It's an affirmative defense, so at the board we had that.
So then
burden.
It's up to you to establish and explain and justify why you get to run all the way back to 1968 Beatles Apple for all the multitude of goods and services you're identifying today in your current application. Is that right?
Well, I think that
the burden's on you.
The burden is on us. On the other hand, we do have an adversarial process. And
let me help you. This one's friendly. I'm going to be honest, friendly, okay? And I'm going to go hostile after that. So just keep track. So the friendly question that I'm starting with is, why isn't your argument to us the following? We only have to be able to tack back for that which somebody else may have priority before us for. We don't have to tack back or demonstrate tacking with regard to sports or blogs or anything else, because no opposition has come forward challenging our entitlement to those categories. So all we have to show priority for, Judge Chen, Judge Moore, and Judge Toronto, are something that goes back and covers the production and distribution of sound recordings and live music performances, because those are the two categories that Mr. Bertini claims that he preceded Apple for. You don't have to prove entitlement to all the rest because nobody's challenging your entitlement to that, even based on today. You don't have to even tack for the rest. The tacking doesn't give you priority necessarily for the whole application, and if the board said it did, that was their legal error, Your Honor. That's my friendly question.
Yes, that is the point. Part of the point I was trying to get out unsuccessfully for the last 10 minutes or so. Yes, what Bertini was doing is recorded sound and live music. That's what the board, and that's why the board focused on that.
Okay, Bertini, fair enough. So your argument might be that for tacking, we don't have to prove entitlement to 1968 for everything. We just have to prove it for the things that he's claiming he can go back to 85 for.
I think that's right. If there's somebody else that comes to court or comes before the board that is doing sports under the Apple mark and is claiming that it's an impermissible to tack, that would be a different case,
okay,
with different evidence.
So now let's fast forward. This is where I'm flipping. I gave you notice. Mr. Bertini's mark, according to the board, gave him priority back to the 80s for live music performances. The only thing you can claim back to 68 for is gramophone recordings, audio compact discs featuring music.
Right.
Why doesn't he have priority for live musical performances?
Well, the question is, as I've said several times, is whether live performances are substantially the same as the recorded music.
I believe
and
you said substantially identical.
Substantially identical in the eyes of consumers of music. And the whole point of the Lanham Act is to protect consumers from being confused about the source of the goods and services that they're receiving.
Well, let me tell you, if that's the point of the Lanham Act, which I agree with you it is, I don't understand how the tacking doctrine could ever apply in this case. Here is why. You're claiming that everyone in the universe is going to believe that everything you're doing under the Mark Apple Music is really the same producer as the Beatles.
No, I don't think that's the standard we're subjected to.
Identity of goods or services. You're claiming, and most hacking cases, by the way, involve the same company, right? Most hacking cases that have ever been decided are the same company tweaking their mark and claiming the consumer will still understand it's the same company. This is one of the few cases where you went out and bought somebody in order to be able to claim their priority and not have a problem.
Right.
So if the point is that consumers need to think it's the same source, which is what you just said, what consumer thinks that Apple Music came from the Beatles?
Well, I think, first of all...
My kids know.
First of all, not all cases involve the same... Like Brunswick, for example, is a situation where the mark was used first for various types of bowling equipment, and then decades later was then used to, was applied to bowling balls. So there are cases in where the services differ over time.
Same company, though?
Same company. It was the same company, yes.
All right. So that's different than what the chief just asked you about.
It's slightly different because it's not... It's one difference, not two differences.
Trademark law is focused on source identifier.
That's right.
Who in the world thinks Apple Music and anything at all that it does came from the Beatles?
Well, I don't think that... See, I would quibble with how you phrase that. So Apple Corp. Limited was the music company for the Beatles, right? They had the use the mark Apple for music. Not only the Beatles music, but other music as well.
All music that they produced? I mean, it seems to me one fairly large difference is that Apple Music is like the electronic equivalent of, I don't know, Tower Records. I assume practically none of the actual content offered on Apple Music does the Cupertino company produce.
I think the record is silent on that, but I think that's probably correct. I'm not sure why that makes a difference. Apple Music is distributing the music of various artists.
If the question is whether consumers would think upon the introduction into the marketplace of the Apple Music service,
yes,
that it was not the computer company already distributing other kinds of online products of a variety connecting with people and their own devices, but instead was a company that distributed in various ways its own produced music. Doesn't the board have to face that, and isn't it somewhat implausible?
Yeah, well, it's not an argument that Bertini made, so I don't know if the board had to face it for that reason alone. The question is, I don't think that when the mark Apple is used for music, that is the source identifier. It's not suggesting that Apple, that company, whether Apple Corp. or later Apple Inc., is producing the music itself. It's distributing the music and getting it to consumers to listen to. I think that's the representation that's being made, and I think consumers of the Beatles' music, knew...
What is the time period at which the question of what consumers are likely to understand about source should be asked?
Well, I think it should be asked, if I'm following the question correctly, when the application is submitted and ruled on, that's when the question is asked whether...
So you think that the question is whether consumers in... This application is, what, 2015?
Yes, I think so.
In 2015, would think that the same company that produced music, recorded it, distributed its own produced music, is almost unheard of by 2015, ask any 20-year-old, is the likely source of the Apple Music electronic service? I think you just said that is in fact the question, and if that's the question, that's kind of a problem for you, isn't it?
May I answer, Your Honor?
Yeah.
Okay. The red light's on. That's why I asked. So I think the answer is I don't think that's true. I think people, consumers of music, who are familiar with the Beatles, know that they produce their music and distribute their music under the Apple mark. So I think they would attribute the same source to other music distributed by Apple Inc. Through Apple Music to the same source. And I think the suggestion that somehow if you purchase a trademark, it's sort of less, it's of less value than the original.
Do you think consumers familiar with the Beatles would believe that Apple Music flows from them?
No, I don't think that they would think that the Beatles are responsible for Apple Music. I think that they would think that...
But isn't the source identifier the point?
Well, I think they would think that the music distributed under the mark Apple Music and the Beatles music distributed under the mark Apple was from the same source, and after the purchase of the trademark, it is. The Apple Corp now distributes the Beatles music pursuant to a license from Apple, the computer company.
Can I ask you to back up, because I never really got a satisfactory answer to the one other question I had, which is, if Bertini really can predate you for live music, because I don't believe you can tack back for live music, I only believe you can tack back for gramophone recordings, which maybe includes CDs or cassettes, and assuming that argument is not forfeited, which I don't think it is, if Bertini claims live music, why isn't your entire application have to be rejected under those circumstances?
Because live music is substantially similar or substantially identical to recorded music. The question is if a consumer
you don't have, no, you don't have all recorded music. You have gramophone records, which I said I would maybe say a natural zone of expansion would be CDs or cassettes. How is the natural zone of expansion live performances?
Well, I think I would get there in two steps. The first is streaming, which is how, I don't know the exact percentage, but probably 99% of music consumers obtain their music today. So you have the full panoply of the ways that music consumers get their music.
Did the board make this fact finding? Because my clerk, brilliant as she is, just said the board never made that fact finding, Judge. That's what this computer's good for. So isn't that a problem? If Bertini has sound recordings or music, live music, and you only have gramophone records, and the board did not find as a factual matter that live performances are the natural expansion of gramophone records, why don't you lose?
No. I said streaming is the natural expansion of gramophone records, 8-track tapes.
I don't know that that's true, and I don't know that the board found that, but that's irrelevant because they don't have streaming. They've got live music.
Right. Well, they have both. I mean, both is included.
It's irrelevant. But the only thing that matters is the thing they got that you don't have.
Well, no, the question is what would music consumers believe about live? Is live music
close? And the board didn't make a fact finding to that effect.
Well, that's true. The board, I agree with that. The board focused on the service of basically Apple Music service of distributing music, and didn't focus on live performances, but I think the same principle applies, and I'd go back to what you're
on. In fact, they gave you priority, didn't they, for production and distribution?
Correct.
And that doesn't include live performances, or it wasn't discussed anyway.
It wasn't discussed because, again, Bertini didn't make that argument. He made a broad general argument.
They definitely made the argument that they were doing live music performances. And
No, that's wasn't. I agree with that. They made the you must tack all the services to all the goods argument. They didn't say you have, even if you have it, as to production and distribution, you don't have it as to live music. That's the argument they didn't make before the board. And that's why the board didn't make any findings about that.
Just one last question for me.
Two last questions.
I'm sorry.
Two last questions. One question.
Should I go first? Okay. So just so I get clarity on something that we already discussed, in 2015, when the application was applied for, is it your view that a consumer would likely see that application for Apple Music for all those listed goods and services as connecting back to the Beatles Apple mark?
Well, I wouldn't phrase it that way. I think the question is...
Well, how about just answering that question? And then you can rephrase it and then answer your rephrased question.
No, the 15-year-old Taylor Swift fan buying her music is not
going
to...
Or me. Go ahead. Keep going.
Okay.
Anybody buying Taylor Swift music is not going to...
So then you agree that someone looking at your 2015 application in 2015 would not look at the Apple Music mark as being connected back to the Beatles Apple.
Well, I think what the board took a...
I think
not
I
everybody.
Yes.
I agree with you.
I heard you say yes. Okay, now go ahead and rephrase your question and answer that.
Well, I'm not going to rephrase the question, but I think the point is the board looked at the marks and said, from a consumer's perspective, this Apple Music provide the same information as Apple. Not from a consumer looking at the mark.
This feels like an excellent vehicle to clarify this tacking doctrine. And Toronto, did you have a last minute question?
I did. It's incredibly small and not non-doctrinal and record specific. So I do want to ask you this.
Record specific as in gramophone?
Very funny. Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Said, I think this is at page, appendix page 2727, paragraph 21, the Beatles recordings are evergreen,
yes,
quote unquote, meaning versions of the Beatles recordings have been available continuously every year after their original release. And I guess that contained some uncertainty about what that meant. Did that mean that used record stores were selling Beatles albums for a long time? In which case, I wouldn't think that that would be in any way traceable to, I guess it was at Apple Corp. Does it mean that there were other companies re-releasing Beatles albums without any contractual relationship to Apple Corp? I couldn't tell what that sentence meant, because it seems to me only if Apple Corp was itself authorizing by contract people to put out Beatles albums would that point stand as a, I think what it was used for, an objection to abandon.
Yes, I agree with what you just said, the end of what you just said, and I think that's what the interpretation, I think that's what he meant. If you look at the rest of his declaration, he points to numerous releases under the Apple mark throughout the late 70s, 80s, and 90s during the period when Bertini says okay. There was inactivity.
I told you that was very small.
Yes.
Thank you. So, Mr. Bertini, rebuttal time is entirely optional. Feel free to use if you'd like. And technically, you went over by 7 minutes, so you could have 9 minutes.
It's not necessary, Judge. I'll close unless the court has any questions.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bertini.